Every entrepreneur will eventually leave their business, whether through sales, succession, or something less planned. Yet despite this certainty, exit planning receives remarkably little attention compared to starting and scaling. Drawing from conversations with over 100 business owners, Finish Big reveals a profound truth. The difference between a fulfilling exit and a regretful one isn't just about money. Ray Pagano exemplifies the successful exit, enjoying life aboard his 60-foot ocean trawler after selling VideoLarm for $45 million, four times the original offer he received. His secret? Years of preparation, transforming his company from a benevolent dictatorship into a well-oiled machine with empowered employees and transparent financials. When he visits his former company today, employees still welcome him warmly, evidence he must have done something right. The lesson is clear. Start thinking about your exit now, even if you believe you'll never sell. This process offers two major benefits. It leads to better business practices as you identify and address weaknesses, and it forces you to clarify who you are beyond your business identity. At 2 a.m., Bruce Leach questioned selling Crosscom National. Despite the upcoming windfall, he wondered who he'd be without his business. This identity crisis affects entrepreneurs who've never considered life beyond ownership. Without self-awareness about what truly matters, you'll struggle with exit decisions. Some entrepreneurs, like Michael Lemoyne, view businesses simply as investments rather than extensions of identity. It's just a chapter in the book, he explains, with his identity rooted in being a child of God, a husband, a father, rather than his company's. A good exit isn't just about money. It's about controlling timing and choosing the right buyer. Bill Nyman's story demonstrates losing this control. After building Nyman Ranch into a recognized gourmet meat brand pioneering humane animal treatment, he brought in partners who raised $11 million. Despite growing sales, the company remained unprofitable, eventually forcing a sale that left Nyman with almost nothing to show for decades of work. Studies show only 20% of companies put up for sale actually sell. True sellability means choosing when you leave and who takes over. Buyers purchase future cash flow, focusing on growth potential and risk assessment. Smart owners develop what Burlingham calls creative paranoia, constantly identifying and addressing weaknesses that might undermine value. A good exit requires years, not months, of preparation. Ashton Harrison's journey with Shades of Light illustrates this perfectly. When she first considered selling her high-end lighting company in 2005, the business was losing money amid morale problems and declining sales. Control issues were evident through messy inventory, late financials, and employee theft. When asked about her timeline, her husband joked, "How about tomorrow?" Recognizing the company wasn't sellable, Harrison committed to a 3 to 5 year preparation process. By early 2010, she was finally ready, with sales projected to grow 25% to $10.7 million and profit margins exceeding 10%. The sale closed in July 2011, 7 years after she began preparing. This timeline isn't unusual. Robert Tormey notes, the exit process may be a 5 or 6 year affair, including finding buyers, 1 to 2 years, navigating market cycles, and post-sale involvement, 2 to 3 years. Starting early leads to better outcomes, giving you time to design and prove your business model, demonstrate growth potential, and reduce buyer risk. Martin Babinek learned this lesson after selling controlling interest in Trinet. What we learned was public market discipline. Over time, we learned how to be a private company that runs like a public company. When choosing a successor, allow ample time for mistakes. Roxanne Bird initially selected Harry, a franchisee's son she'd known for years, only to discover his management style conflicted with her company's culture. Jim O'Neill's hasty appointment of consultant Vince as CEO led to disaster. Sales plummeted from $68 million to $45 million. Losses reached $2.1 million, and ONS eventually filed for bankruptcy with liabilities up to $50 million. Such succession failures are surprisingly common, even at public companies where founders like Steve Jobs and Howard Schultz had to return to save their businesses. The fundamental error? Not thoroughly examining a successor's management philosophy and cultural alignment. After her misstep with Harry, Bird pivoted to selling to an ESOP for $40 million. For leadership succession, she found her future CEO internally, George Williams, a 17-year company veteran. She implemented an 8-year transition plan, with Williams becoming president and COO in 2013 and chairman and CEO by 2020. The key insight? Successful transitions depend primarily on transferring human relationships, not just business operations. When selling a business, the best guidance comes from those who've already navigated this transition. Many owners postpone planning until forced into hasty decisions, then become overly dependent on investment bankers and brokers whose interests differ from theirs. For these specialists, the transaction is the end. For owners, it's the beginning of whatever comes next. Organizations like Chicago-based Evolve, founded by Dave Jackson and Bruce Leach after their own difficult transitions, offer valuable formal support. No owner exits alone. The decision affects investors, family, customers, suppliers, and especially employees who depend on the business for their livelihood. How employees fare under new ownership often strongly influences an owner's post-sale satisfaction. Jack Altshuler's experience selling Marum Corp demonstrates the emotional cost of secrecy, as he found himself betraying the culture of trust he'd built over years. Most successful entrepreneurs care deeply about their employees, both from decency and business sense. Tony Hartle of Planet Tan exemplifies a better approach. When selling to competitor Palm Beach Tan, he prioritized job security, brought his core team into the process, promised financial protection if they lost positions, and gave substantial bonuses to managers after closing. The final challenge entrepreneurs face is navigating life after selling, often more difficult than starting the business itself. Most don't understand what they get from running a business until they've left it. Randy Burns discovered through interviewing 16 former business owners that he'd lost 4 crucial elements: identity, purpose, sense of achievement, and personal connections. Everyone needs somewhere to go after an exit. Those who know their next destination before leaving fare much better than those figuring it out afterward. Transitions typically take about 3 years, with serial entrepreneurs adapting faster than first-timers. Norm Brodsky found a new career co-founding and financing businesses after selling City Store. "Selling the business wasn't the end for me. It was the beginning of a new career," he explains. Martin Babinek launched Upstate Venture Connect and became an angel investor, saying, "I'm having a blast." The key to post-exit happiness appears to be service, helping others succeed. While financial freedom matters, finding a higher calling provides the deeper fulfillment that makes an exit truly successful. Your business isn't your final destination, it's merely a vehicle for the journey to your next chapter.